Good afternoon. I want to have, this is about the program in Costa Rica, in which I had in 2009, we also did it in 2010, but this is a 2009 group, and had 11 students that went with us. Three of them are here today, and I just want them to stand up. So Elizabeth Buckingham's here, Peter Zavesano, I'm never going to pronounce it, and Megan Halkin is here. And so I hope you'll ask the questions of them and not me at the end. So, and there's no relationship to disclose. So I'm going to give you a little bit of background in Costa Rica, just a comparison a little bit, that big difference between the population. However, you look at life expectancy at birth, and there's not that much difference in life expectancy in Costa Rica with the United States. The infant mortality is slightly higher, not a lot. Almost all of deliveries are in hospital in Costa Rica. And they spend a lot less than we do on healthcare. And they have a universal primary health care, which is one of the reasons I do this in Costa Rica, so you can really see this. But to give you an idea, this is really a second world country, if you will, not third world country. It's really coming along. It's a beautiful place to go. So a little bit of the history on Costa Rican health care system is that prior to 1950, most of the medical care was either private or charitable, as it still is in much of Latin America. And the Costa Rican Social Security Fund, also known as the Caja, or El Seguro, was created in 1942 and truly implemented in the 1950s. And it currently covers 90% of the total population of the country and about 85% of the total salaried populations. The financing is done through employer contribution, worker contributions, state contribution, the smallest part. Then they collected all those for several years before they implemented, and that went into interest earnings. So 80% of the public sector health care funds are channeled through the Social Security, or Caja. And they now actually have 8 hospitals rather than 6, but at the time they only had 6. And there's no public funding of any sort of private health insurance like we have here. To improve service delivery, they have what's called an ABICE, which is a basic system of integrated health care that they've created these teams, if you will, around the entire country. They're about 800. And so every population of about 4,000 citizens have an ABICE. So they have a doctor, a nurse, auxiliary, and a primary health technician, which is sort of the equivalent of our nurse practitioner, if you will. And the technician, also known as the técnico, provides in-home immunization, nutrition, education, sexuality education, etc. So just an overview of the rural communities. I started this program in 2002, and I've been doing it almost every year. Did it last year as well as 2010. It's a health district in Bolson and Ortega of about 4,000 overall in the outlying areas as well. In 2002, went in and got to know people in the community, and we did a needs assessment with about 50 households, and showing that diabetes and hypertension were two of the leading health concerns. Over the years, the programs helped to develop community health committee, provided hypertension and first aid training, domestic violence workshops, etc. And in 2007, 50% of chronic adult diseases were attributed to hypertension and 17% to diabetes. So as the whole program goes, it's a 6-week program during the summer. The students spend 2 weeks of intensive language training in San Jose with lectures and site visits to hospitals, clinics, women's hospital, organic agricultural centers, and seminars provided by the University of Costa Rican School of Public Health that I work with. The students this year developed workshops for rural residents to address diabetes, hypertension, And that included aerobics, karate, stress management classes, nutrition education for elderly diabetes, nutrition and hand washing classes. This was H1N1 time for children, and constructed two vegetable gardens. This group of students, I asked them to do three things, and they said, no, we're going to do five. So this was like my wunderkinds or something here. So the first group worked with diabetes among the elderly, and the objective was to help educate the population over 65 who had diabetes and provide healthy eating information about hypertension and diabetes, to provide some stress reduction workshops as well for women. They visited homes, and they tried actually to do a workshop that they invited the diabetics to come. We had one person that showed up. So they reorganized and went, okay, we got to do something different, and found that many of the elderly couldn't get out of their home. So we decided to do home visits and to remind them that they weren't alone, to provide them with information about diabetes, and to provide them with a healthy package of healthy food. Small package, not a lot, and to build trust with them as well as their caregivers, and to invite them to a health fair at the end of the 2 weeks we were there in the community. So with the help, so they developed gift packages, which included fruits, trail mix, and so forth, and they assembled preparations. The Avice Clinic, the nurse here, helped a lot. With finding the names and addresses, which is a whole nother challenge, and guidance on how to do it, and speech, and preparing what they were going to say. They ended up visiting 15 people of the total. Mean age was 77, a range of 66 to 92. The health fair, they developed flyers, food, speech, research, posters, journals to give to people to keep their own dietary journals, and recipes, and a bingo game about diabetes. And so about 14 women came, three over the age of 65. They had one man. 15 children came. Two Avice members, both the doctor and the nurse, helped participate, and 50 from our group. And here you can see we did portion sizes, so they got an idea of that. Healthy choices, and food journals and recipes. So the other group, which Megan was part of, did hygienes and in the schools. And it was to introduce basic nutrition and hygiene to children in the primary schools, increase knowledge about when and how to wash hands, and the importance of hand washing. They introduced a food circle, which they use instead of the pyramid in Costa Rica, because they found with the pyramid, you know, you got the at the very top of the pyramid, what do you have? Sweets, right? And that they everybody understood was that's what you were supposed to eat the most of, because it was at the top. So they use a plate, and you divide the plate up into the proportion that you should eat the type of food in. Taught about different types of foods and the health and enjoyment about that as well. So they did two classes, kindergarten and fourth grade, with different number of students, and also in Bolson. They did, here's sort of an overview of the hygiene. This is a picture you see there is the school's sink. When we got there, there was no soap, so we provided soap. And they did hand washing steps and cards, and played games with it, activities. We also did petri dish, which I'll show you in a minute, where we had the kids actually, you know, with their dirty hands, but, you know, and watch it grow, like this is what's on your hands, was really helpful. And we did bubbles at the end. So this is the petri dish, and hand washing sample of what they, how they should do that. The nutritional activities, They provided materials to explain the food circle, and then had the young people put the actual types of foods up on the circle on the board so they knew where they went. Then they drew their own food circle, and then they also developed a go fish type of game around the nutrition. Then on to the fitness group, of which Peter is here as part of this. The objectives was to promote healthy behavioral practice exercises and to change lifestyles, perhaps, with fitness workshops, and to understand the benefits of performing physical activities and to increase personal health, and create the basis for community to further continue activities in this way. So they, for 2 weeks, 8 total classes of aerobics with women 13 to 50. Average number was about 21 people in the class. They came every day. It was really incredible. Did aerobics, dance, yoga, and stress workshop during part of that time. So I'm going to skip through some of this. We also had one of the students, Ian, was a black belt in karate, so we provided karate education. And they loved it. Lots of people came. And this was nice because you can't get the guys to come to aerobics classes, but some of the men would come to the karate classes. And I just want to give you the results. So we had about, over 5 days, about 25 people came. They were all ages, as you can see, kids as well as women and men. The majority of the participants had really loved this. This was a big hit. And we left copies of how to do this and hoped it would continue. I can update on that. So Peter also worked with the kids all the time. The kids just fell in love with him. And they played soccer or relay games and worked on cooperation as well as physical activities. Water balloon toss, three-legged races, etc., and soccer, which is the neat thing here is that, we had both girls and boys playing soccer together. This is not all that typical in a Latin American country. But it was a way of developing not just physical skills, but communication skills, and to show that girls and boys can work together on the field. We also did... this is like, okay, and we've done all that. That's what we're supposed to do. And everybody said, okay, let's do something else, which is we planted 2 gardens. So you need to have healthy food in order to be eating the diet that you've now said that you should eat. So we brought in representatives from Sol Verde, which is a local organic food organization. They gave us instructions on how to do this. And along with that team and ours and the community, we learned organic composting. I am not a gardener. I have a brown thumb. I can't grow anything, but I learned how to compost, and so we went through that, and so did the people in the community. Here they are composting for the first time, and some of the students who helped put in the gardens, and we also put in a garden or helped put in a garden in the back of one of the schools, so it was in the school system itself. And that one's still going on. The other one is not, has had problems because we put it in the wrong place, but I live and learn for the next year. We also brought, we had planted seedlings the week before so that we could have them ready to put in when we got the garden going. So here they are completing the beds. And everybody developed a really deep and wonderful lasting friendships with the families. So that's it. I'm a little early. Maybe we can have some more time for questions. So, pardon? 5.5 minutes we've got. So go for it, you guys. Let me just go back. We'll put that. No questions? Yeah. Okay.
Did any of the classes continue?
Did the classes continue? As I understand, the aerobics class continued for about 6 months. We'd left the material, and I spoke last year with the woman who was supposed to be continuing, and she said, well, it dribbled off, and people didn't come. So actually, I'm going back again next year, and I'm going to try to establish a committee that will do activities committee that would work through the health committee from the clinic. So I think that, you know, if aerobics gets to be boring, what else do you next do? What, there's a committee. And so that's not happening. The garden that we put in, the one you actually saw being built or planted, that's what you do with gardens, right? Actually got, they had lots of rain this last year, and it was in the wrong place and got flooded. And they, so the plants didn't do well. So we should talk about putting it someplace else. And there's some discussion, but there's always a problem of getting the community to all agree that this plot is for the whole community. and who's going to care for it, and is there a problem with people robbing what you plant, and that, so sorts of issues. And of course, in Costa Rica, the pests are more complicated. I mean, the bugs are twice as big as ours are in this setting, so that was problematic. Other questions? Yeah?
Were you welcomed with open arms, or what did you do to develop trust, and what was the most effective thing?
You guys want to answer that?
I don't know. About answering your previous question about the continuing activities, I know a couple of the guys actually asked Ian, who did the karate, to print out or write down the instructions on how to practice it at home. So I don't know if they're continuing it in the big community center where we have the activities, but I know a lot of the people never saw somebody do karate like he did before, because he did a demonstration and everybody was fascinated by it. So a lot of the gentlemen came up after the event was over and kind of asked them quietly, like, hey, can you teach us how to do this?
Do you want to talk about your family? They all stay with families, so they're living with rural families at the time.
I don't think any of us really had problems getting the families to open up to us. And I think that they kind of force you to open up to them too, because you're in such small proximities, and everybody just, they're so loving, the people there. And if you're more, the more open you are, the more open they are. So I guess, I don't know.
Doing it. The families have been doing this since 2002, so it's been the same location. So they're very good at being host families. And I will say every year, the students don't believe this, but every year when we get on the bus to leave, everybody's in tears. The students are in tears. The families are in tears. It's.
But I mean, not just the host families, but the community accepting you and coming in and teaching them things.
Think that once they saw the first group of the women, their women for the fitness classes, they didn't, I think there was maybe 7 or 8 the first day, and there was probably about 40 people standing around the community center watching. Mm-hmm. And then as the days went on, more people started to come, and then instead of the women wearing like baggy clothes, they would all come in their little workout outfits, and I think that they definitely, and they were there before us then. Like, we would get there, and I think it started at 4 o'clock, I think they would get there at 3:45 after, just to make sure that they were there and had a good standing spot for the class. So definitely took a little bit of time, but once people saw that we were there to help and that we met well, that definitely worked. So.
One of the reasons that we choose this community and this area is this is the area that probably gets the least of this type of help from the outside. And so we're really welcomed in because there aren't a lot of people doing it in this area. And I just got the cut off. So thank you.